Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family. Your team every day. My name is Patricia Traina. Happy to be with you. And we are continuing our rundown of the New York Giants position previews and helping me out with them. As you guys know, if you've been listening along, Nick Filato's been helping me out. And today, to help me out with the offensive line and defensive line, I have a first-time guest. I'm actually thrilled to have him on. He is Coach Gene Clemens. He is actually a football coach. He does a great job. He's also a writer over on GiantsCountry.com. The man, when he breaks down the film work, folks, you got to check it out. His stuff is outstanding. And Gene, I'm really happy to have you on the program with me.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here. I'm looking forward to talking about, in my opinion, two of the most interesting groupings for the Giants coming into this coming year.
Absolutely. And Gene, let's jump right into it. Let's start with the offensive side of the ball, because, you know, the offensive line, you look at the history of the Giants offensive line, Dave Gettleman has been trying to fix that unit now for basically ever since he got here. And this year, you know, and I know we said this maybe last year and the year before, it looks like he got it right. But when you look at the Giants offensive line and how it's shaping up, do you finally feel that they're on the right track with this unit, or is something still missing?
I think they're on the right track. I don't know if they're there yet, but I think they're on the right track. I think it's very interesting. The question marks that surrounded the offensive line last year, I think that they have answered, or at least they put answers in place for them. What's going to happen with Nate Solder? I think that's one of the big questions. Does he stay as a left tackle? Does he move to the right side? Does he get beat out by the two guys that are coming in? Those are all questions that I think people were really interested in finding out. I don't know if they have a legitimate answer for the center position. I think that they feel comfortable going into the season with the incumbent, but I do think that they brought in some guys who could be intriguing to build or to train at the center position, who could make that position more dynamic.
Let's start with the tackle thing, because obviously the tackle position, that's a big question mark, and not so much because, you know, Andrew Thomas is a rookie, but the question that a lot of people are debating is what side would he be best starting on? Now, for the longest time, I was of the opinion start him on at left tackle. You know, that's the position he's going to play in the future, and move Solder over to the right side. And then in having thought about it, I figured, okay, you know what? Offensive line is not about one guy. It's about how you stack them up. And you look at Nate Solder. He struggled last year. And would it necessarily benefit him to move him to the right side where he's next to a veteran like Kevin Zeitler? And then on the left side, you have, you know, a youngster in Thomas and a still relatively young player in Hernandez. Or does it make sense to maybe start Thomas on the right side as opposed to the left side? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I believe that continuity is key. And so when I look at the two offensive linemen who are in the long-term plans, Thomas and Hernandez are it. Hernandez is going to be your left guard. Thomas is going to be your left tackle. So in my opinion, you start both of them right now together. And now you say, you know what? the left side of our offensive line is good for the next 10-plus years. You've got two young guys, two guys who are nasty in the run game, two guys who only have upside when it comes to their ability to pass protect. I think that that's what you do immediately. The question mark for me is with Solder. Is Solder the answer at right tackle? Or is a guy like Cam Clemens, who's really been proving over the last couple of years that he could be a starting tackle in the NFL, is he somebody that can come in and supplant Solder and maybe even be a reason why the Giants feel like they could move on from Solder sooner rather than later? That's the question to me that needs to be answered. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that we're going to see Nate Solder starting for the Giants.
Interesting perspective there, because Cam Fleming, you look at him, and when they signed him, I was thrilled. I was like, finally, they have depth at that offensive tackle spot. But Gene, tell us about, the challenges for a guy like Nate Solder to potentially flip from left side to right side. I mean, I know things change, landmarks changes, but, you've coached, obviously, the game, so you are aware of the intricacies and the details and stuff like that. Even though Solder is a veteran, what kind of challenges would he potentially be looking at if he were to flip from left to right?
Well, I think a lot of times it's overblown, the difference between the left and the right, but there are subtleties. Some offensive linemen are more adept with a particular foot forward. So when you're on the left side, you typically have your right foot forward. And you're on the right side, you have your left foot forward. So depending upon what's his dominant hand, which I'm not exactly sure of, his adjustment to the right side could be one that might actually be beneficial to him. So if he's a right-handed football player, his left foot is his dominant foot. Now that's going to be the foot that he pushes off with when it comes to his pass protection, either in his straight back drop or into his kick step or slide step. It'll also be the foot that he pushes off of when he looks to reach block, which is going to help him be that much more faster, that much more explosive. Sometimes on the left side, it's looked as if he's just a step slow or a half step slow. And maybe that's something that rejuvenates him and puts him in a position where, A, he doesn't feel the same level of pressure, but, B, he also is able to use what could be his dominant foot to be a catalyst for allowing him to move a little bit faster.
And, Gene, I want to also ask you about the youngster that they drafted in the third round, Matt Part. I think is how you pronounce his name, part, something like that. I've got to get the correct pronunciation. But anyway, coming out of UConn, he was primarily a right tackle. It doesn't look like he's going to be ready to step into the starting lineup this year. What kind of jump is he looking at? I mean, you've looked at him, I assume, on tape. You're familiar with the position. What kind of adjustment does he have to make coming from UConn to where he's maybe serviceable as a potential starter on that offensive line?
Well, I think the one thing that you see when you change levels like that is a lot of times people speak to the speed of the game. But I don't think that'll be an issue with Pert, because his advantage has always been his athleticism. The thing that's going to be shocking to him is the physicality and or the power that many of these defensive linemen bring. As we know, usually the most dominant defensive end will line up on the offense's right side because they want to take advantage of what is perceived to be the weaker of the two pass blockers in the right tackle. And so he's going to have to deal with guys that bull rush him, guys that turn speed to power, things that he may not have had to deal with at the level that he's going to have to deal with it in the NFL. He's going to have to deal with guys like Leonard Williams. Like, Leonard Williams is a handful because he's so big, he's so athletic, and he's so powerful that he can drive two players back, nevertheless one, And so Pert is going to have to really be able to adjust to that level of physicality that he hasn't had to deal with while being at UConn.
You're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina and special guest Coach Gene Clemens, a writer at GiantsCountry.com. He also writes for Football Game Plan. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we still have more to discuss on the Giants offensive line as we preview the positions, getting you ready for training camp. Stay with us. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models of cars and trucks, it's become impossible for retail shops to stock everything in a traditional chain storefront. So the next time you need a part for your car or truck, visit rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family-owned business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. RockAuto.com offers scores of different auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers for nearly every make and model of car out there. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and are the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. Patricia Traina here with you, and I'm joined by Gene Clemens. He is a writer for GiantsCountry.com, does film work for GiantsCountry.com, which is an SI.com sports channel, writes for Football Game Plan. If you folks remember Emory Hunt, who's been a frequent guest on the show, he works hand-in-hand with Emory, and he's a football coach. He coaches, I believe, youth football, and does a really good job breaking stuff down. So really glad to have Gene on the program for the first time and hopefully the first of many. Gene, let's get back to the discussion about the offensive line. You mentioned at the top of the program the center position, and I want to just kind of go into that a little bit more. The Giants, for whatever reason, look like they're going to go with Spencer Pulley at center. And I just want to ask you, you know, they've talked about Nick Gates possibly taking that role. They talked about, you know, they drafted Shane Lemieux. How much, though, do you think the fact that they have a still relatively young quarterback behind center is going to influence what they do at that position?
Well, I think it's important. I think a lot of times people undersell center, and I think center is a very, very valuable position on the offensive line. Your quarterback has to be comfortable with what the center is doing, because a lot of times the center is the guy that's making a lot of that of those frontline calls with in tandem with the quarterback. And so I think that Pulley is a veteran. You know, he's a guy that he's a serviceable guy as a center. But if you're talking about having the best, most dynamic offensive line, you have to be looking to upgrade that position. And so I think what they've done is, with Gates and with Shane Lemieux and maybe even Murphy, a guy that they added out of Rhode Island that has played across the offensive line, you can start training guys to learn multiple positions, but also kind of key them in on, hey, pay attention to center and make sure you're really understanding and learning center, because what you could possibly improve with an upgrade at the center position in the run game, because in the pass game, the center has the added advantage of the offensive guards to help him. But in the run game, when that guy can become a dominant blocker, you really do drastically improve your play action game. And so now when they fake it to Saquon, that nose guard who usually identifies the play action first isn't going to just be able to, you know, bull rush or, run over a center, he's going to have to worry about being blocked in the run game first and being blocked effectively in the run game. And so I think that's really important to the success of your quarterback, allowing him to be comfortable. But early on, you can't put your quarterback in a position where you're trying to break in a newbie, not only to the NFL, but to the position, and think that it's going to go smoothly with your quarterback.
In terms of, you know, and I know you've studied Jason Garrett's offense in the past, in terms of the role of the center, obviously other than making the line call, snapping the ball, how often does that center end up isolated one-on-one with a nose directly over him, versus how many times do they try and get it to where maybe a guy is shaded or they get the center involved in double team blocks? In other words, what can they do to maybe mitigate some of the concerns they might have if Spencer Pulley is the center?
I think that you'll see a lot of chipping with the guards. And it's not just Pulley. It's almost any center, not named Jason Kelce. I mean, who has been like the preeminent center in the league. Centers usually need help because they're typically smaller in stature. They have the disadvantage of not being able to dig in because they have to snap the ball. And so you'll see the guards help with the center a lot and try to chip. But the less they have to chip, or the less time that they have to spend with helping the center, the better opportunity they have to get to the second level. And so it will really determine how well they're able to effectively reach the second level by how much time they have to spend double teaming a nose at the point of attack.
Gene, going back to Nick Gates for a moment, he's practiced the position. He's worked at the position. Matter of fact, he's learned from Spencer Pulley. I remember talking to him, and he told me that Spencer was teaching him the finer points. But because of COVID, they weren't able to get out on the field. They weren't able to really put it into practice, even though Nick Gates worked on it last year in practice. So it's not like it's a foreign position. But with that said, when you have a new offensive coach coming in, you have a new offensive line coach coming in, how much of an adjustment is it to, okay, now you've got to start from scratch, or you can kind of pick up where you left off? And in other words, is Nick Gates's window or the step that he needs to take to be ready to be a starting center, is it as steep as we think it is because the practices this year were wiped out in the spring, or is he a little bit closer maybe to being ready to step into a game if need be?
I think it hurts that he's not able to actually practice versus competition. I don't think that him... You know, I don't think it hurts that there's a new coaching staff, because essentially at the center position, offense is universal. You're stepping left, you're stepping right. You're usually double teaming. You're anchoring at the point of attack. There may be different calls or the ways that things, you know, people verbiage that he has to worry about. But that's not something that most centers are going to have a difficult time with learning. His problem is going to be game reps or even practice reps, not being able to line up with a shade or a nose head up zero over him, knowing how to snap the ball, get his head out of the play, take on that aggressiveness, that contact, and be able to effectively adjust to that type of pressure. It's different when you're at a guard, when you're at center, than when you're at a guard, because when you have somebody over you, they're right there. Their reaction time is going to be a lot faster because they're right there next to the ball. So as soon as you flinch, that guy's moving. And many times before you've been able to get the ball out of your hands, the person's already hitting you. That takes an adjustment. It takes getting used to, and that's something Nick Gates hasn't been able to do.
And if you had to take a guess right now, I mean, do you think Nick Gates has a realistic chance of winning that job, or do you think it's going to be more or less, you know, go with Pulley this year, get Shane Lemieux ready because he might be, I don't know, maybe a little closer, having worked on at it at college as well. What would be your plan for that center position, and not just in terms of the starter, but in terms of depth, which to me looks a little skimpy, if you will?
Well, I think that the depth at center is going to be interesting because nobody behind Pulley has any experience. That's the one thing that, well, has any NFL experience or legitimate long-term experience at the college level. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I do think that the start of the season, you will see Pulley. I just don't know how, as an offensive coordinator, even as an offensive line coach, you can feel comfortable putting your quarterback in a position with someone who's never been, who's never taken on those live rounds. I just think that there's an opportunity that you might see a Gates, or depending upon how he develops, a Lemieux step in during the season and maybe is able to supplant Pulley during the season. But I think Pulley's still a veteran. He's going to go out. He's going to give you his best. And with the improvements at the tackle position, we hope that's going to make four out of the five positions stronger. And that should be able to make up for an average guy at the center position.
You're listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina and special guest Gene Clemens. We're going to take our final break, and when we come back, we're going to flip over to the defensive side of the ball. So stay with us. Welcome back, Giant fans, to segment three of Locked On Giants. Patricia Traina here with you, and I'm joined by Gene Clemens. He's a first-time contributor to the program, but if you follow us on GiantsCountry.com, if you follow Football Game Plan, you are familiar with this gentleman's work. He does an outstanding job breaking down film, and really happy to have him on the program with us to break down the offensive line and the Giants defensive line. And speaking of the defensive line, let's flip the switch over and let's talk about that, because Gene, I think, you know, when you look at this Giants team, that defensive line hands down is the strength of that entire team. Would you agree?
I actually think it's closer than people believe. I think that the secondary, with the addition of Bradberry, and with drafting, Xavier McKinney and Darnay Holmes out of UCLA. I think that group has a ton of potential, but it's show me potential, and right now we know what the defensive line is going to be able to do.
In terms of the defensive line, let's stick with that for a minute. The big polarizing figure right now is Leonard Williams. You know, Dave Gettleman got a lot of heat for trading for him, but insisted that they learned a lot having him on the roster, that, you know, I still don't know what they could have learned that 4 years worth of film couldn't have told them. But let's address that for a minute there, Gene. What is the benefit of actually getting a guy into the building, putting him on the field, you know, going through, you know, the daily routine with him versus just relying on the film?
Well, I think relying on the film tells you what kind of a player he is. Getting him in the building tells you what kind of person that he is, and that allows you to make a decision on whether or not giving him an extension over multiple years is going to be something that leaves him satisfied and unmotivated to work hard, or whether or not he's going to be the same guy whether he has this money or not. And so I think that's one of the big advantages of getting the guy in the building. Also, I look at the fact of, if you go back and you give the Giants back their third-round draft pick, you're not getting a Leonard Williams. So, I mean, at the end of the day, the guy that they were able to bring in for their third-round pick is Leonard Williams. And nobody in the NFL was able to get a better talent in the third round than Leonard Williams.
When you say better talent, I mean, obviously, different positions and whatnot, different criteria. But What is it about Leonard Williams that people just are missing when they look at him and say, oh, the Giants screwed up, they should have never made the trade? What does he bring that maybe was missing before?
Well, I think what they, I think what Giants, and quite honestly, what Jets fans failed to understand is that Leonard Williams was never just a pass rusher. Leonard Williams was never going to be your double-digit every year pass rusher. He's not, you know, he's not J.J. Watt. But just because he's not J.J. Watt doesn't mean he's not really effective at what he does. And that is, he has an ability to play every single position on the defensive line. And it's rare that you can tell, you can say that someone has an ability to play every position and play it well, but you could line Leonard Williams out as a weak side defensive end. You can have him on the strong side. You can have him in a four, in a four tech head up of tackle. You can have him as a three technique over a guard, and you can put him in a nose or a shade versus a center in obvious pass rushing situations. And he can be effective everywhere. And that's the part that I don't believe Jets fans gave him enough credit for. And that's the versatility that I believe that defensive coordinator Graham's going to be able to use to really unlock his potential.
Let me ask you this, because I've often wondered this question myself. Do you think that maybe when Leonard Williams came out of college and entered the draft, did the Jets maybe overvalue him, maybe reach for him? I think he was the number six pick overall in his class, if I'm not mistaken. Did the Jets maybe reach at that point, which is maybe why there were such great expectations that he hasn't quite delivered on?
I don't know if they reached. I think that the expectations were wrong. If they had picked him and said, we're adding one of the most versatile defensive line players in, to come out of the draft in the last few years, then nobody bats an eye. But they shaped it as, we are drafting the next premier pass rusher. And to me, when you put that, when you put that, that, that stigma of premier pass rusher on someone, and they don't get double-digit sacks, everybody looks at them as a bust, or as, you know, an overreach. I mean, I think you could say this, people could say the same thing about Jadeveon Clowney right now. He's a guy who's supposed to be an elite-level pass rusher, and he has not delivered those numbers to the level of a number one overall pick. But he's supposed to be a pass rusher. Leonard Williams is a guy that plays all over the place.
Yes, he does. And certainly when he came on board last year, the run defense, actually, I thought it improved a little bit. And not coincidentally, and tell me if you disagree, Dalvin Tomlinson, his play really picked up when Leonard Williams, you know, arrived on the scene. I mean, did you see that effect? And what do you think was the reason for it? Was it just chemistry? Was it, you know, Williams now taking on some of the roles that Tomlinson was asked to do? What do you think, you know, led to that?
Well, I think Tomlinson, and I actually just wrote about this in, you know, in an article that's going to be on Giants Country soon. Tomlinson is really, really effective when he's aligned in as a nose, when he's playing either head up or shaded on a center. He is a nightmare for centers. When he has to play out in a four technique or a 4-3 technique, where you see a lot of Leonard Williams play, he's not as effective. And so being in an element that I believe is better for him has allowed him to shine, because he hasn't had to do some of the things that you have to do when you are playing at that position that Leonard Williams has played. It also, Williams also coming in, allowed Tomlinson to take less reps. Less reps means more fresher legs in the second half, which means you can be even more effective when you're called upon.
What about Dexter Lawrence? That's a young man they got in the Odell Beckham Jr. trade. He was the number 17 overall pick, and And, you know, Dexter Lawrence had a reputation coming out of college as being primarily a big body run stuffer, a two down type of player, but certainly a very positive rookie season. What did he bring to that defensive line?
Well, I think I think you get another Dalvin Tomlinson, except just maybe a little bit more explosive. When you look at what Dexter Lawrence is, he's another guy who is going to make sure that he eats up blocks and can still be dynamic while eating up blocks. The way in which this defense has to be set up, because there's just no other way with the personnel that they have right now, is it has to be able to transform and give that amoeba look like you see in New England, where every week they look different. And the only way you can do that is to have players who can be dynamic at various positions. And, you know, so he has an ability to play, again, across the defensive line. And so that allows Patrick Graham to be able to employ him anywhere, whether that be as a defensive end on the strong side, whether it be as a three technique, or whether it be as a shade or a nose. He's a guy who can come in and really affect change everywhere, because he can not only be stout against the run, but he's athletic enough that if you give him a lane, he can be effective as a pass rusher.
What do you think the Giants are still missing on the defensive line?
Well, I think with the type of defensive line they're planning to employ, I don't know if they're missing anything. I think what they're missing, if you want to say that they need it, is an elite pass rusher. But that doesn't necessarily come in the form of a defensive lineman in this defense, where you're only going to have three down linemen primarily every play. That comes in the form of an outside linebacker, a nine technique. And, you know, at this point, there's still a couple guys that are out there that they could possibly bring in. They could always bring Golden back and take another run with them. But I think that what they're trying to do with the defense is really have more of a defense by committee approach than necessarily having a standout one person that's a double-digit sack guy.
Is there a danger to that approach, Gene? I mean, you see a lot of teams really talk about, you know, oh, you've got to have the quote-unquote blue goose pass rusher. But to me, it's like, you know, if you're not getting the back end of the defense to do its job, it doesn't really matter if you have that number one guy. But still, is there a danger in taking that approach that we're going to spread the wealth around?
Absolutely. There's always a danger in it, because some defensive players, especially pass rushers, they work off rhythm. And so, like, the first quarter ends up being a fielding out process. Well, if a guy is only going to get 35 snaps in a game as opposed to 60 snaps in a game, or 20 snaps instead of 40, his ability to be able to fill the game out is going to be different. I think that what they're relying on, though, is the scheme to allow guys to get home without much resistance. And that's where having those three monsters that we see that are going to start, a guy like Dalvin Tomlinson, who's averaged over 50 tackles his first three seasons, a guy like Dexter Lawrence, and then Leonard Williams, if those three are your primary three down linemen, it's going to be really hard for those five offensive linemen to not spend all of their time focused on those three, because you can't really keep giving Leonard Williams one-on-ones. Like, at some point he's going to get home. Like, he didn't have any recorded sacks, but it doesn't mean that he didn't affect the passing game. There were many times where he chased the guy right into Golden's hands. There were times where he flushed the guy and somebody else was able to get a sack because of it. That doesn't get recorded in the books the same way, but that doesn't mean if you keep allowing him to do that, he's not going to get to the quarterback. Dalvin Tomlinson had 3.5 sacks. That's his highest sack total of his career. Dexter Lawrence is only going to get better. And so when you look at those three guys and you say, okay, well, in the pass game, five offensive linemen, if you leave one of those three guys one-on-one, somebody's probably going to get home more often than not. That's a problem for an offensive line. So you just need your exterior pass rushers, that fourth guy or that fifth guy that's coming to rush the quarterback, you really need them guys to be able to get home and make it pay dividends.
Final question for you, Gene. When you look at the Giants in the pit, offense and defensive lines, and I know coaches hate this word, but I'm going to use it, how comfortable would you say the Giants are right now as far as what they have, what they don't have, and what they could potentially do as far as scheme to maybe cover up some of the deficiencies?
So I think defensively, they are comfortable with what they have on the defensive line. I think they have an abundance of talent. There are going to be guys who get cut off the Giants defensive line that find another home immediately. Like, they have a legitimate two deep for those three positions across the front of the line. Offensively, I think they hope that they're going to be able to put together a combination that gives the offense more continuity.
Well, the Giants certainly need both lines to step up because I'm sure you can agree it all starts in the pit. If you don't win in the pit, chances are you're not going to win anyplace else on the field. Gene, great Absolutely. Stuff. Great stuff. Really appreciate it. Besides the article, which is coming out on Dexter Lawrence, I believe it's out tomorrow, your article. What else you got going on that you want people to know about?
Yeah, there's a Tomlinson article that should be dropping tomorrow. Obviously, we're still doing player profiles, so you'll still see more player profiles from me on GiantsCountry.com. My YouTube channel, Coach Gene Clemons, I focus on a lot of content that just has to do with football and football-related issues. Mondays, I usually release a new episode of my offensive interference webcast. I talk to a lot of people, get an opportunity to talk about current events. You're probably going to hear me saying something about Cam Newton and his signing and really talking about different areas of football when it comes to the news, but also get an opportunity to talk about some social issues within sports that I think are very relevant today.
Sounds good. Sounds like you got a lot of stuff going on. And of course, you're doing your thing, coaching up tomorrow's NFL stars.
I know they hope so. And you know, it's been a blessing to be named the head football coach at Jenkins High School in Savannah, Georgia. So I'm really enjoying that experience and getting to know those guys. And we have some talented young men. And if they work hard enough and they're fortunate, they may have a chance to be future Giants. You never know.
You never know. And you might be soon dealing with some of the scouts coming your way, looking to, you know, from the colleges, looking to recruit some of these young men. So, Gene, it's an absolute blessing to have you writing for Giants Country. And I thank you for taking the time out. I know you're very busy, but I thank you for coming on the program with me, and we will definitely look to do this again. Hopefully we have a season and we get you on once a week to break down some more X's and O's.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Thank you.
My pleasure. All right, Giant fans, that'll do it for today's show. Thanks so much for tuning in. For Gene Clemons, I am Patricia Traina, and have a great day. We'll talk to you again soon.